Welcome to the New Church Buccleuch. This is an audio recording of a sermon given by Pastor Mark.
Good morning again, everybody. Children, what is today? Easter. And what do we celebrate on Easter? Easter eggs. What do we celebrate on Easter? You celebrate? The Lord. When the Lord was risen. Very good. That's why we celebrate Easter. Because the Lord rose again. The Easter eggs that we get are a reminder to us of what? What is an egg? What is inside an egg? If you went to the farm and you watched an egg, what would happen eventually after 21 days? What would happen? A chicken. A little chick would pop out of the egg. A new life would come out of the egg. And so at Easter, we give Easter eggs, or more importantly, we eat Easter eggs as a reminder to us of the new life of Easter, that the Lord has risen again. The Lord has risen again. Now, the story of Easter brings with it so many wonderful teachings. It's a culmination of the whole of the Lord's life and His purpose into a couple of days. And so there's so much that we could talk about at Easter. But today I want to talk about the fact that the Lord's love never stopped. It couldn't be stopped. Were the scribes and the Pharisees happy with Jesus? Did they like that he was teaching people new stuff, different stuff?
No.
Were they happy? No. That's where the problem all started, that the church at the time didn't like what Jesus was teaching. And so, over the course of his ministry, of his teaching, they wanted to get him. They wanted to catch him. They wanted to stop him. And eventually they did that, didn't they? That's what we remember about Good Friday. The Lord ultimately being caught by the Romans, by the church, and then put to death. But that's only a small part of the story. And the major part of the story is today, when we remember the Lord rising again, that no matter what they did to Jesus, He lives. Now, what we do to the Lord, He still lives. The Lord wants to live within our lives. There is a constant love from the Lord that He is pressing onto our lives and that can't be stopped. The Lord is pressing on your life. His love is pressing on your life and it can't be stopped. Isn't that wonderful? You can't stop the Lord from loving you. No matter how bad you think you've been, the Lord still loves you. It's a wonderful teaching that we think about at Easter. Nothing will stop the Lord's love. Now this pressing, the Lord, if the Lord is constantly pressing on you with His love, He's trying to get something to happen. He's trying to get to your mind. First of all, He comes to our mind and He wants to change how we think. If we can move the slide on to the next slide. The Lord's love is pressing to change our beliefs. The Lord is pressing to change our beliefs. I'll come back to that with a story just now. What is this? Sorry, let me move this out of the way. What is this?
A chair?
I thought it was a ladder. if I want to change the lights or something, I'm sure I can stand on this. Huh? Does someone want to test out my ladder for me? No. Dodgy. Right, it's dodgy. Right? Anyone tried to stand on a chair like this? Right? Okay. Right. All over the world, people try and use this as a ladder. They convince themselves this is going to be okay. And what happens? They break something. They break something, definitely. We lie to ourselves by saying this is a ladder, aren't we? We're lying to ourselves. Because what is it? It's a chair. It's for putting our bums here and not our feet. Right. So that's a lie if we're telling ourselves that's a ladder. What is this?
A ladder.
This is a ladder. Right. So this is a true ladder. Does someone want to test this out for me? Ryan, come test this out for me. Convince me that it's not a chair. There we go. Okay. No horsey on it. Thank you. All right. So, is this a ladder?
Yes.
Is this the right thing to use? Right. Okay. So, there are in our lives things that we lie to ourselves and we say, oh, this is a ladder. I can use this. And we end up hurting ourselves or we hurt other people. But there are other things that are meant for the job and that are true. And if we rely on them, they will do what we need them to do. The same is true for a lot of things in our lives. We convince ourselves that something is true, that something is right, when it actually is not. The third line there, sin is believing in a lie. Okay? When we believe in this lie, we will stand on the chair and we will hurt ourselves. But as we go through our life, we also come into thinking that is not true, that is actually a lie, and if we live that lie, we end up hurting ourselves or hurting other people. Who's got a Facebook account or an Instagram account or a Twitter account? Okay, all right. It's such fun when you post something and you get people's responses, right? And you post something and you want people to respond and you want people to like, right? And that almost becomes the driver. I want people. I need people to respond to my posts. Okay? We fall into a false thinking that our worth is measured by how many likes we get. I am a nice person, or I am a popular person if I get a lot of likes. Do you think that's true? That's a lie that we very easily get sucked into. That my self-worth is dependent on how many likes I get. It's one example. A lot of us, as we grow up, we want to earn money. Money, money, money. Okay. And so we want the best jobs, and we want a well-paying job, because if I can earn a lot of money, I'll be happy, won't you? Hey, if you have a lot of money, you're happy. No? If you got a lot of money, do you have a lot of money? Are you happy? Are you happy? Do you have a lot of money? Are you happy? Do you have a lot of money? Are you happy? Do you have a lot of money? Are you happy? Okay, if you got a lot of money, whether you have money or not, doesn't determine if you're happy. Children, are you happy? Are you happy? And how much money do you have? Nothing. How much money do you have? Nothing. Are you happy? Yeah. Right. But as we grow up into becoming adults, we think money is going to make us happy. But right here, we have examples of happiness without the need for material things. If we could all just be children, but we can't. But it would be nice to experience the joy and happiness of life without going after the worldly things. But unfortunately, the world tells us to be happy, you've got to have money. To be happy, you've got to have that car. You've got to have that phone. You've got to have that house. You've got to live in that suburb. You've got to be. No. That's a lie. It's a lie that we need to then change within our minds so that we can start to change the way we live. Okay? Change starts in the mind. Sin is believing in a lie. Our behavior is based on our belief. If we believe something, we will do it, won't we? If we believe that it is okay to go after whatever you want in life and to treat others however you need to treat them in order to get to that goal, we will treat people unfairly, won't we? We will say nasty things to people. We will try and control people. We will try to push people out the way in order to get to a goal because we believe the goal is worth getting to and I can treat people however I want. It's a lie. Another lie, and it reflects in the behavior. If we believe it's okay or that the worldly things are more important, we treat others badly in order to get there. Our behavior is according to what we believe. And so when the Lord came to earth and when the Lord taught, and the story of Easter is about the Lord's efforts, the Lord pressing on your heart and on your mind to change your belief. Change the way you think about life. Change the way you think about where happiness comes from. Why? Because if you change what you believe and trust in what is true and what is the right way, then your behavior also changes. If we can change our minds, we can change our behaviors. If we believe in love, then we will hurt other people? Is that right? If we believe in love, will we hurt other people? No. If we believe in love, we will love other people. If we believe in kindness, we will be kind to other people. If we believe in honesty, we will be honest to other people. And that is the call that the Lord gives to us, that He's pressing on our hearts, the way that He wants us to walk. Not just to know some ideas and maybe get a bit distracted by the world. The Lord wants us to believe in Him so that it will change the way we live. So to be a Christian is not just to know the Lord. To be a true Christian is to believe in His truths, believe in His ways, to the point that it changes the way you act. That is what the Lord is calling us to. That is what He teaches over and over in His Word. And I want to read to you, we're going to end off with this story. It's about the story of Easter morning. The Lord was crucified and died on the Friday. And now this is the first day of the week. What is the first day of the week? Sunday. Okay, for the Jewish church, they had their worship on a Saturday. That was the last day of the week. And so Sunday, which is today, would have been today, we start a story about the Easter, or the Lord's rising from the tomb. So let us read. Now on the first day of the week, which was a Sunday, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Why was there a stone? Why should there have been a stone in front of the tomb?
It's heavy.
When they buried the Lord, they rolled a big stone over the mouth of the tomb so that no one could take the Lord's body. But when Mary gets there, what's happened? The stone is gone. The stone is away from the mouth of the tomb. And she ran and came to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and that would be John. So Peter and John. And said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have laid him." So, did they believe that the Lord was dead? They did. So Mary believed the Lord was dead. Did the disciples believe the Lord was dead? Yes. Peter therefore came out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he stooped down and he looked in and saw the linen cloths lying there. So they had wrapped the Lord's body in cloth. The cloth was there, but the Lord's body wasn't. Yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloth, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who came to the tomb first, went in also, and he saw, and he believed. What did he believe? What happened in his mind? What change happened in his mind? Many things could have changed in his mind. Did he believe now that the Lord was alive? Yes. Had the Lord risen like he had said? Yes. Is there life after death? Yes. Is the Lord all powerful? Yes. So these are all the wonderful teachings that now the disciples believed. They finally believed it, for as yet they did not know the Scripture. They did not understand. They did not believe the Scripture that he must rise again from the dead. And then the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary Magdalene stood outside the tomb weeping. So she probably didn't get belief. And she wept, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked in the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." So she still thought the Lord was dead. And now when she had said this, she turned around and she saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" And she, supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him, "Teacher." So Mary also finally, her mind awoke. She believed, she saw the Lord, that he was no longer dead. So this is one of the beautiful messages of the Lord's life. One of the beautiful messages the Lord brings to us at Easter is about believing, about changing our minds from what is potentially hurtful for us, that is worldly, and wanting happiness from worldly things, and changing our minds to find what real love is, to understanding why the Lord came, what he is asking of us, where happiness truly comes from, where self-worth truly comes from. And those things come from the Lord. If we will change our minds, if we will believe in what the Lord is teaching, and then our behavior, the things that we do, will follow. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord God, our Savior Jesus Christ, as we come to you with our arms and our hearts and our minds open, We ask that you help us to feel the pressure, the presence of your love. That through your love, we might go to your word, that we might seek to understand and to believe in your way, to believe that the life that you are calling us to is more happy, is more caring, is more understanding than the one we currently lead. Lord, help us to leave behind the old. Help those things that are hurtful in us to fade away, to be pushed to the side, to die in our lives. And Lord, will you inspire us to take up a new life, take up the newness of a heavenly, caring, joyful life that you offer. And Lord, we know that you are constantly with us. You are ever present, that you never leave us, no matter how awful we think we are. And Lord, may we draw strength from that, that you want the best for us and are working to help heal us. And Lord, we ask that you give us the strength and the courage to cooperate with you, to work with you, to put in our little bit of effort so that you can fight for us to change our lives. Amen.